الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him and we ask forgiveness from Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who has been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed guided. And anyone who has been misguided, you will never find a guardian to guide him. I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without any partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O Allah, let your prayer, your peace, your blessing be upon your servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his companions and family members. In continuation of the series of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ethics, so today we're going to address the torture that the Prophet and the companion received during the year of the fourth year and the fifth year. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not ordered to defend himself physically during this time, and he was trying to stay away from any confrontation with the leaders of Mecca, and he was meeting secretly with his companions in Dar al-Arqam. And Dar al-Arqam, Ibn al-Arqam, it was a way hidden house in the Safa, in the mountain of Safa, so away from the eyes of the disbelievers. He was educating the companions about the Islam and the reciting the Quran for them and explaining to them what the rules and regulations of the Islam day after day. So the with the effort from the Prophet to stay away from any confrontation, but still declaring the message publicly by himself. So he's putting himself in danger, but publicly announcing the message. But for the companions, he did his best to keep them away from any confrontation with the disbelievers. So with all the attempts from the leaders of Mecca to persuade Prophet Muhammad to stop this, or to even with his uncle Abu Talib to force his nephew to stop this, all attempts failed. And one of these attempts, when the disbelievers reached the point that they given up in any peaceful means, they took one of the leaders took a strong man from their tribes and went to Abu Talib and told him, "Here, this strong man, take him as a son and give us your nephew to kill him. Since we failed with all this, it will be like a one man by man." I told him, he refused, and he said, "You give me your son to raise him and feed him. You want to take my son, who's about Prophet Muhammad, to kill him? That will never happen." And that's the public confrontation from that point went on, and the Abu Talib started meeting with his own tribe of Prophet Muhammad, Abu Manaf and Abu Bani Hashim, to be ready for the next step, because he knew that the leaders of Mecca, they working on assassinating Prophet Muhammad. So, and this going on, with all this torture for the Muslims, because most of them, they are weak, many of them are slaves, and some of them are freedmen, and strong in positions and wealth. Until the point that Umar ibn al-Khattab, declared his Islam. And also Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet, declared Islam. With these two strong men, the message of Islam get stronger, and also the confrontation get harder too, because they knew that this message is not going to go away, and they had to do what they had to do to stop it and to get rid of it from the beginning, or from, and the source of it is Prophet Muhammad to be killed. So along although Umar ibn Khattab wa Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, he add strength to the message, and even the Muslims declared their Islam publicly too, and again the torturement and the confrontation became harder and harder. So along this way, Prophet Muhammad was feeling for the Muslims that who getting killed, like the father and the mother of Umar ibn Yasir, and also the other people were injured. So he thought about how where to send these Muslims to place to be safe. And he thought about Habasha, which is now Ethiopia, and to send them to, he knew that there's a king there that was fair, that he will send these Muslims to for them to stay away from any torturement or any killing. So he sent a group of 12 men and 3 women, and was the leader was Osman ibn Affan, and Osman ibn Affan, he was married to the Prophet's daughter, and that was the first family to immigrate after Sayyidina Ibrahim and his family. And they escaped from Mecca, and the leaders of Mecca did not know about them until later. When they found out, it was too late, because they took 2 ships to Habasha or to Ethiopia now. And they lived there peacefully. They were received by the king, who was fair to them, and they stayed there for good time until they heard about incident happened. That Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying in the Kaaba, and around the disbelievers, he surprised them by reciting the Quran. They did not expect that, because they did not want to hear any Quran, but he surprised them by reciting Quran, and he was astonished, because he did not know what to do. They listened to him, and Prophet Muhammad came to one of the verse for prostration and in sajda, and he made sajda, and all of them, the disbeliever, made sujood too. And other people thought that the disbelievers, they became Muslims. And that news arrived to the Muslims in Habasha, in Ethiopia. So they thought, now it's okay, and since the Quraysh became Muslims, they thought about coming back. And they came back. But they found out it was not true, because these disbelievers, when they wake up on this kind of a sudden surprise from the Prophet, other disbelievers, they blamed him. And then they tried to justify for themselves what happened, but it was not true becoming Muslims, these disbelievers in Mecca. So the Muslims that came from Habasha, some of them, as soon as they are, just 1 hour before they come to Mecca, as soon as they realized that's not true, that the disbeliever became Muslims, they went back. Some of them, they went back, and some of them came to Mecca, but undercover or with the help, with the protections of other individuals in Mecca. So the disbelievers continued on their torturing the Muslims and hurting them to extent that, as I mentioned before, that their life was not bearable at all. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam again ordered a group of Muslims to migrate to Al-Habasha again. But this was a large group. That group was about 82 Muslims and 18 women in them. And this was also a kind of a surprise that the Quraysh and the disbeliever was taken. So they rushed to try to persuade the king of Habasha to send this group back to Mecca. So when they sent Amr ibn al-As, another person, with a gift, lots of gifts, to the king of Habasha, to try to persuade him to send this group back to Mecca. And the of course, Amr ibn al-As, he was a merchant, and he knew the king himself, and he was received well. But the, and he told them about this group of Muslims, that they came to his land, and they did not come to his religion, and they abandoned the religion of their people. And he asked him if he can send them back with him. So the king of Habasha, he was just and was fair. He said, I'm not going to send them until I hear from them. He asked them to come, and they came, and Ja'far ibn Abu Talib, he was the spokesperson of this group. And when they arrived there to in front of the king, and also the people around the king, they already got bribed with gifts and from Amr ibn al-As and others. So they were already ready to encourage the king to send these people back to Mecca with them. So the king was fair enough, and he asked the Muslims, what is going on? What kind of religion that you become to? You did not come to my religion, and you left the religion of your people. So Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, he spoke a very eloquent speech to the king. And this speech here is one of the most famous speeches in the Islamic history about the beginning of Islam and how the Muslims, why the Muslims became Muslims, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib summarized that in a very eloquent statement. I'm going to say it in Arabic and also translate it too. So Ja'far ibn Abi Talib said, أيها الملك كنا قوما أهل جاهلية نعبد الأصنام ونأكل الميتة ونأتي الفواحش ونقطع الأرحام ونسيء الجوار ويأكل منا القوي الضعيف فكنا على ذلك حتى بعث الله إلينا رسولا منا نعرف نسبه وصدقه وأمانته وعفافه فدعانا إلى الله لنوحده ونعبده ونخلع ما كنا نعبد نحن وآباؤنا من دونه من الحجارة والأوثان وأمرنا بصدق الحديث وأداء الأمانة وصلة الرحم وحسن الجوار والكف عن المحارم والدماء ونهانا عن الفواحش وقول الزور وأكل مال اليتيم وقصب المحصنات وأمرنا أن نعبد الله وحده لا نشرك به شيئا وأمرنا بالصلاة والزكاة والصيام فعدد عليه أمور الإسلام فصدقناه وآمنا به وأتبعناه على ما جاءنا به من دين الله فعبدنا الله وحده فلم نشرك به شيئا وحرمنا ما حرم علينا وأحللنا ما أحل لنا فعدى علينا قومنا فعذبونا وفتنونا عن ديننا ليردوننا إلى عبادة الأوثان من عبادة الله وأن نستحل ما كنا نستحل من الخبائث فلما قهرونا وظلمونا وضيقوا علينا وحالوا بيننا وبين ديننا خرجنا إلى بلادك واخترناك على من سواك ورغبنا في جوارك ورجونا أن لا نظلم عندك أيها الملك. This is a very, very eloquent statement about summarizing what Islam, the religion of Islam, is all about and why did he migrate. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib told the king, we were ignorant and we were used to worship idols and we used to do everything wrong and we used to not to take care of the relatives and also to do bad to the neighbors. And the strong will take advantage of the weak until the Allah sent a prophet for us. And we know him. We know his trustworthy. We know his honesty. And he asked us to pray for Allah alone and not to pray for any idols. And he also asked us to be truthful in speech and to give everything to their owners. And to be good to the relatives, and to be good to the neighbors, and to not to kill, and also not to say the wrong saying, and also to be good to the orphans, and ask us to pray for God, for Allah alone, and ask us to pray, and to also to give charity, and to fast, and he mentioned all the religions of Islam, regulations, rules, and when. Our people knew that they want us to go back to their religion, which is all the bad things they used to do. But we knew about you, how just you are, and we chose you to stay with you until Allah will decide about us, and we chose to stay within your land. and the Najashi, and he told Ja'far, and let me listen to what your prophet is saying. So Ja'far ibn Abu Talib recited the Surah Kaf, Haya, Ayazin, Sa'd, and he recited the Quran, and the Najashi, the king, cried. And even all the people around him cried too. And he told Amr ibn al-As, I am not going to send him with you, they are going to stay with us. So Amr ibn al-As and his Rabi'ah, Abdullah ibn Rabi'ah, they said, we're going to come back again the following day, and we're going to tell the king something bad about the Jesus and Mary that the Muslims saying about him. They came and say, well, this group, they say something bad about Jesus. So the king called the Muslims again. I need to listen to from them. And when they asked Ja'far ibn Talib, what your religion say about Jesus? And so Ja'far said, هو عبد الله ورسوله وروحه وكلمته وألقاها إلى مريم العذراء البتول. This means that he is the slave of Allah, and his messenger, and his word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it to into Maryam, the virgin. And the Najashi, the king, said, this is us all, because at that time, the Christianity was pure, was not corrupted as it is after that. So Najashi said, this is exactly what Jesus is all about. And Najashi told Amr and Rabi'ah, take your gifts away, and these people, they are under my protections. Whoever going to hurt them, I'm going to hurt him. And so the Muslims stayed there with the companion of that king. So now, after all this, Quraysh give up with all their attempts to get rid of the Islam, failed. So they become furiously and violently on all Muslims in Mecca, and seriously thinking about assassinating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they went to Abu Talib and they give him warning. Now it's war between you and us. So they declare it war, and it is now time that we have to be action taken from Abu Talib. So inshallah, we'll talk about that next following khutbah next Friday. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة supplicate may Allah accept our supplication at this time. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد على آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد على آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. The ethics that we get out of this circumstances that the Prophet and his companion went through is the steadiness. And what the Prophet said about it, to stay firm in what you believe. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the steadiness, when you go to bury your Muslim brothers, استغفروا لأخيكم وسألوا له التثبيت فإنه الآن يسأل. Pray for your brothers and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him to keep him steadfast in his words in Islam, because he now is asked. The two angels asking, as soon as you bury the Muslim, two angels will ask him this questions: who is your Lord? Who is your Prophet? What's your book? And the Muslims who had steadiness, who had firm words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, Allahu Rabbi, wa Islamu Dini, wa Muhammad Rasuli. But the one who had no steadiness, who was not supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala steadiness, he would say just ha ha ha. So this is a very example, good example about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep the person firm in the words, in the grave, and in afterwards. And also another hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his prayer, he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka thabatu fil amr. Oh Allah, I ask you to keep me firm in my religion. This is something, nothing, if you face any situation, always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you firm in what you believe and to keep your heart strong in the religion. And also another hadith, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent Ali ibn Abi Talib to Yemen to be a judge. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you send me to people who is older than me and to be judged, to judge him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to make your tongue firm and you're going to have your heart believe strongly in what you're going to say. So he prayed for him that he's going to have support from Allah to be steady and firm in what he's going to say to them. So the other hadith, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always used to pray, Ya Muthabbit al-Qulub, Thabbit Qulubana ala Deenak. Oh Allah, you make the hearts stay firm in the religion of Islam, make our hearts stay firm to your religion. Also, another hadith, during the trench expedition between the disbeliever and the believer, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray, and even in a kind of a chanting like singing, لولا أنت ما اهتدينا ولا تصدقنا ولا صلينا فأنزل السكينة علينا وثبت الأقدام إن لقينا. It's kind of a point, you know, when the people working hard, they try to repeat some kind of words like a poet or like a song to keep themselves going in what they do. So this is how when they were digging the trench, he was saying that, and one would say, وثبت الأقدام إن لقينا, mean also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep their foot firm when they meet the enemies. Also another hadith, يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا والآخرة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the believers strong and firm in by words in this life and after life. So always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you firm in what you believe in this life and after life. When people could be doing all kind of things, and but just before they die, the devil will come to them and will persuade them to die in another religion. Say all your life you were doing something that was not true. The devil will try to persuade the human before they die. Even in the last minute before the person die, the devil will come and try to persuade the person to die in another religion. But of course, when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you firm in your religion in this life, till the end of your life, and in the grave, and in the afterlife, that's one of the most important things that you ask. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpret the word yuthabbitullah. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you firm in all what you ask him, and the best steadiness that you could ask is for to stay in the religion of Islam and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the religion of Islam, and this is one of the best blessings that you have in your life that you are Muslim. So now for the benefits of asking for the steadiness in Islam is, this is kind of to give you complete and comprehensive depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also that's going to make yourself and your soul strong. And this is because you're asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you firm, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to you, because when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to you. And also when you stay firm, you keep the right, the truth on, and the wrong will not have a place among the Muslims, and also this is will give the Muslim strength, and the steadiness in is a way to the paradise. When you stay steady in your firm, that's the way in the to the paradise, and that's a way to imitate Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to follow his footsteps. Oh Allah, help us to purify ourselves in body, mind, heart, and spirit.
Amen.
Oh Allah, do not let our hearts deviate from the truth now that we have been guided, but grant us mercy from your very presence, for you are the guarantor of bounties without measure. My Lord, help me to perfect my prayer, and of my descendants, our Lord, accept this prayer. My Lord, forgive me and my parents and all believers until the day of judgment. Glory to Allah, Lord of majesty and honor, and peace be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon his family and all his companions. Praise to Allah, Lord of the creation. Qulu qawli hadha astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa aqimus salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna